All right. Now, anyway, thank you very much. So he's not going to get... So apparently Pope John Paul II will not become a saint because he's a Polak. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. I have no idea whether he's going to be a saint. It's fine with me. Does that mean I get to pray to him? I guess if he becomes a saint, I can pray to the cat, which also means he'll start doing... That's one more guy I got in my corner, see? As a Catholic, you need all the help you can get. I can pray to him. I can say, hey, Pope John Paul, you're new up there. Maybe you'll listen to me. Maybe you'll start listening to some of my prayers, because the rest of those guys aren't. Saint this and saint that. And that Mother Cabrini, boy, she ain't doing me any good. And she's American. I need one good saint to start greasing the wheels up there. And I think he's the guy to do it. Now, coming up tonight, we're going to have Vernon Dozier. Speaking of greasing the wheels, Vernon is a teacher, a summer school session at Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. A lot of parents are upset with what's been happening at that summer school session at that small academy in Glendale. And we'll be talking with Mr. Vernon Dozier, who is a teacher. He teaches one of the classes in question. We'll talk to him. Apparently, air conditioning is not working at the school, and the students, particularly the female students, have been encouraged to come to school in bathing suits. This caught the attention of a few parents, and we're going to be talking about it later on tonight. We'll also have with us a federal investigator who will close the books on the Roy Horn case as to just exactly what did happen there in Las Vegas that night. Larry Grover, the angry liberal, will join us on Al-Qaeda and some other things. We'll also be talking to a lady in Florida about the recent shark attacks. I got some email to read, and one of the things that I do when I get off the air at night is I go back to my office, and I log on to my philhendryshow.com email. And as relaxation, I like to respond to all of these general mailouts. You know these mailouts, they just send it to everybody, right? And I'll hit reply all. Now, it's generally something along these lines. Bush lied again. Details coming, you know. Or, this is the one called the Downing Street Memo. I don't know if you guys have heard of this. Of course you haven't heard of it, because it's a load. Well, there's a handful of people going nuts about this Downing Street Memo thing. So anyway, they email, the Downing Street Memo clearly sees that Bush did this and Bush did that, and blah, 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 and there's a whole bunch of stuff. So I hit reply all, and I'll just write something like, you guys didn't hear, it's all a fake. Just that. And I just drop that one little bombshell in there into this big, huge email family. And the next thing you know, it's like, boop, 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 boop. Here come all the responses. And some guy, all I said was, oh, you didn't hear? The email is a fake. Well, it comes from philhendryshow.com. So here's the response. Phil, you gutless liar. Hey, bitch. You know, I mean, unreal. This dude's just, I dare you, bitch. So then I said things like, your language is most unbecoming. You know, I just ratchet it up. So what I'm going to be doing is collecting these. And you remember Don Novello when he did his letters, the very famous Don Novello letters. They were very funny. He would send letters to post, like, Rice Krispies. Dear Rice Krispies, your cereal is the most delicious I've ever had. Could I have an autographed picture of the chairman of the board of Pillsbury? And they would send it to him. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to drop these little hand grenades into the middle of these little email families, you know, of people all bugged about Bush. And I'll print up the best ones, the most virulent ones, and we'll start reading them on the air. I got one or two here tonight I'll give an example of. And we got some other things that we're going to do. War of the Worlds apparently is opening today, and there wasn't a whole lot of advance ticket purchases, Harry. Is that right?
Yeah, they didn't pre-sale out very many theaters in New York, Los Angeles,
so they're
Chicago.
Saying the thing's going to stiff.
Yeah.
Now, see, I could have predicted that, but I didn't. Why? Because I didn't want to be wrong. All right. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back. Resident blues singer on the program. Sam, come on in. Sit him down there, bud.
You want to get a cup of coffee, Mr. Sam?
Yeah, I'd like a, bud, you know what I'd love to have? I'd love you to have me a little bit of sipping water, just a little bit of rainwater. That's all I drink, rainwater.
Okay, I'll go get some.
You have any strained tangerine juice?
Yeah, I'll get it.
I like that boy. He's not right in the head. No, I know he's not. He's a little bit of a retard, but he's all right. So what are you going to sing for us tonight?
I'm going to sing a song about Tom Cruise, because War of the World come out today, and it's a stiff. It stunk. You know, Spielberg laid an egg, you know, just stunk the joint up.
Okay, you're going to sing about Tom Cruise, though.
Yeah, because my feeling, the name of the song is Tom Cruise, You a Jive Turkey.
Tom Cruise, You're a Jive Turkey.
That's right. Tom Cruise, You Jive. Tom Cruise, You Jive. You lie. You jumping around with Matt Lauer. People think your head full of flour. All you trying to do is promote a movie. But people think you gone screw it. Well. Tom Cruise, You Jive.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise, You full of crap. You're like that little mouse you'll marry. Now you suck Katie Holmes into it. You nothing but a fruit. You nothing but a fag. A low down dirty fag.
Get him out of here, bud, before he destroys his studio.
Come on.
He's flipping his lid. Sam, you need to finish the song, man. Dude. You all right? You gonna come back to the song, man?
He's nuts.
I was digging it. Okay, Tom Cruise, You Jive. I like that because Tom Cruise is jive. That whole act with jumping around on a couch, the Oprah thing, Matt Lauer, You're a Turd, whatever it is he said to Lauer. It's all just to promote a movie that nobody wants to go see. But I'll go see it because War of the Worlds. See, I got beaten as a kid. War of the Worlds is something that has had a big impact on me. Not this one, the one with Gene Barry. Now, that came out in the early 50s, but when I was a kid, it was replayed on television. And there's a scene in the original War of the Worlds. It wasn't a bad movie. George Pal, I think, did the special effects, and he was like the man. Or maybe he didn't, I don't know. But anyway, the movie wasn't bad for 50s special effects. And it had the Martian ships flying over the city and was like, you know, wiping everybody out. It had this death ray. Well, anyway, there's a scene where a priest comes walking out of the crowd with a cross. And he is walking with this cross to the Martian ship. And he's saying the psalm, one of the psalms, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And he's obviously coming to the Martians as a peaceful priest, a priest of God, you know. And the Martian death ray kind of bends its head down to look at the priest like, boo, you know, and then just hits him with a zap that turns him into something just about yay high and you could stick in an ashtray. Just, well, I watched this and I was about 10 and I was laughing. It was very funny to me. And my old man, that's a priest of God, you know? He comes in and smacks me. You know, real old school Catholic. Oh, so you're laughing at a priest? You're laughing at a priest getting zapped by a Martian, huh? And I'm laying there, the priest got a... You know, because when you're 10, you know, priests and nuns represent... They don't often get their ass kicked. So when you see it happen, you're laughing, and it was a movie. But my father was very put out with his whole me giggling at the priest getting zapped. So I will go see War of the Worlds, but only if it has the priest zapping scene in it. And then only. All right, now we'll take a look at some of this email I was telling you about. Well, here's one, first of all, comes to us from Debbie, and Debbie wrote last night, "Hi, Phil, I'm a fan of your show, and I just started up, I got my backstage pass. I was listening last night. David G. was busting you for saying, quote, shoot a wad of cash in reference to dinner at Nobu. Swallows in reference to your bird problem at home, and jammed in reference to Bobby Brown snorting a line of crack or snorting a line of coke. Well, in the last segment, you gushed on about Fat Matt's barbecue in Atlanta. You said the following words, slab, pork, bone, and back door, all in the same segment. I was surprised that David G. didn't get on the phone and make you kiss the gunner's daughter and take you below for the makings. Not a very consistent boss, is he? Keep up the good work and laughs. Deb Wood, longtime listener, and happy backstage pass holder from Burt Hound, Colorado. Wow. I said all of that stuff? Slab, bone, and... Yeah, I guess we did. All right. In any event, Every time I say something like that, you got to call him, huh?
He told me to call him, and that's what I'm going to do, and that's nothing you can do about it. It's my job.
Your job. Hello, Phil. I know you're a big fan of the actor Donald Pleasance. I know of a movie that he plays a character that you would enjoy. Now, Pleasance was the doctor in Halloween. He's the guy that has that great line, I spent 7 years trying to get through to him and 7 more years trying to keep him locked up. And he was bald. He was just a crazy cat. And Donald Pleasance was also an RAF fighter pilot in World War II. A lot of those old-time actors, just they did it all, right? It says, Donald Pleasance plays Dr. John McGregor, a forensic entomologist who helps Jennifer Connelly in the film Creepers. The character is really cool. He is somewhat like the character he plays in Halloween, only he's wheelchair-bound and has a trained chimp that acts as his seeing-eye monkey and nurse. There's one surreal scene where Jennifer and Donald are strolling around while the chimp is pushing Donald around in his wheelchair. I saw the movie as a teenager in 1986, and man, did I get silly over Jennifer Connelly. Had a crush on her ever since, but it's a great movie. Well, at the top of the hour, we have Vernon Dozier, a high school teacher at Belmar Academy, who's in trouble with some parents because he allowed his kids during summer school session to wear their bathing suits to class. Jeff, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. You're doing a great show. I always enjoy your program. Thank you. Thank you very, very much for it.
You're welcome.
I wanted to comment on what you were saying about War of the Worlds, and I think that thing that's going wrong with that movie is most probably Steven Spielberg probably didn't get it. I mean, you know, we're not worried about Martians any longer. You know, we're worried about Arabians and everything, you know? And
you mean terrorism?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's really sort of part and parcel of how disconnected I think Hollywood is in a lot of ways to, I mean, I'm not pro-Bush or anything, I'm not pro-Iraq, but I do recognize that there is probably a terror threat, and you know, all it takes, I mean, if Spielberg wanted to make a movie about something, all it takes is for, say, 6 or 7 Al-Qaedas to go into Mexico on forged passports, and they can go to the border with a group of other Mexican peoples, and then just like 7 of them just sprint for it, you know, just bust through and just take off running into the desert, and then they can have a prearranged meeting place, like at a, you know, maybe at a hotel in Beverly Hills. And
hold on for a minute, man. Are you talking about Al Qaeda coming in through Mexico, right?
Yes, sir.
So they're sprinting across the desert, and then they have a prearranged meeting at a hotel in Beverly Hills.
Well, I'm just saying that with the way that the Border Patrol.
No, I think I know what you mean. That they could just get a group of 7 or 8 Al Qaeda, concentrate them at one point in the border, and just bust.
Yeah, exactly. That's all it takes. Then all they need to do is get one of those dudes into a mall with a machine gun. That's all they need to do. And you could shut down American, the whole American, everything that's American. It would be shut it down. And that's what Steven Spielberg ought to be making movies about.
Well, thanks for giving them an idea, man.
Oh, come on, man. It's like they haven't thought about it.
Well, if they've thought about it, maybe they've tried it. You know, this is almost 4 years since 9/11, you know.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
see, if they, first of all, they've said they want to hit us. They've said that they want to hurt us. They've shown their willingness to do it. They flew planes into buildings. So I would think that an easier thing to do is what you just said, right?
Absolutely. And I don't think they thought about it.
Or it could be one other thing.
What?
Maybe the security that the security apparatus that we've instituted since then is working.
I don't think so, Mr. Henry. I mean, the Homeland Security situation's a joke. Red Alert and Orange Alert and everything like that doesn't work. And it's all a joke. You know, and
all right, so then there's the other possibility, which is they're not really serious about attacking us.
That could be too.
But they already did. 3,000 people. They see what they can do to our country by doing it. Why wouldn't they do it again?
Well, that's also true.
Well, what are you calling in about then, man?
Okay, what if they get a gun and a car and then get caught in traffic and they just open fire? What about that? Okay, what if they just strapped a bomb to their car and decided, like in rush hour traffic in L.A., Al-Qaeda goes, like, say, right down into the San Bernardino Freeway, say, at, like, 8 a.m., you know, right where those What
are you doing, man? Your mind working overtime on this stuff?
No, wait a minute, man. Right where those bridges are near Cal State, L.A., and just when there's millions of cars, they just go ahead and detonate it, man, and blast everything up. But the other thing they could do, let's say the Dodgers are having a game and there's 50,000 people at Dodger Stadium. Why couldn't Al-Qaeda just drive a car bomb right into the, like, into the ticket booth with all the people standing around? They could do that, too.
And there's a lot of stuff they could do, man. There's all kinds of stuff.
Well, that's what Steven Spielberg should be making movies about. There is a movie that came out back in the 70s called Black Sunday. No, if you've seen it, it's pretty cool. It's about what would happen if terrorists took over a blimp and then let the air out of it, and it just goes, you know, down into the Super Bowl. And
first of all, I saw Black Sunday, Matt. What do you mean, let the air out of it?
That's what it was about, letting the air out of the blimp.
No, it was not about letting the air out of the blimp. You can't let air out of a blimp.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Blimps ain't full of air, man. They're full of something else. It ain't air. It's something. It's hot. It's gas. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The thing, what happened was...
Well, since you're not really familiar with blimps, I don't see how you can comment on it. And it
doesn't make any difference. The movie wasn't about letting the air out of the blimp. The movie was about putting a bomb in the blimp and then crashing the bomb into the Orange Bowl in Miami.
Well, that doesn't seem as effective as just letting the air out of it. Because
if you let the freaking air out of it, man, you ever let the air out of a balloon?
Yeah.
What does it do?
Goes all over the place.
Yeah, thank you. So they let the air out of the freaking blimp, and it starts zipping around the sky and winds up in the middle of the Atlantic.
Well, all I'm saying is pretty interesting how that Steven Spielberg is not interested in that. Another thing they could do is...
All right, get out of here, man. I don't want to hear any more of this guy's scenarios, bud.
Well, he had a couple of interesting ones.
Yeah, get a car bomb and drive it into the ticket booth at Dodger Stadium. Now, before I get any mail from people, do you want to tell me why you put that guy on the air?
What difference does it make? Al Quitta's probably thought all this stuff anyway.
Al Quitta's thought about it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you're right, bud.
Of course I'm right.
Yeah, of course. 1-800-449-868. Why don't they let the air out of the blimp? Wow. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. And promised me a ride in the blimp and never was able to give me that ride in the blimp. And then he died and I hate him for it. Good evening, everybody. This is Phil Hendry and welcome to our comedy show. No, with all due respect and, God rest his soul. My dad did work for Goodyear. And he said to me, because it was parked down at the time near where he worked in Carson, California, I don't know if what they say about blimps is true. There's only two pads. I was just told by my good friend, Mr. Newman, here that there's only about 12 blimp pilots in the world. To pilot a blimp, if you can imagine, is like piloting a balloon. I mean, in other words, there's drift. Just because you say go forward, the wind is going to blow you this way or that. So it's very difficult. But for the always used to fascinate me, for the longest time, Goodyear was the only blimp, right? And then one day in Tokyo... There's a guy sitting there with big Coke There's a guy sitting there with big thick Coke bottle glasses and he goes, "Hey, what in our Goodyear blimp?"
"Yeah, it's very good. It's very good."
"Good? Why don't we have a Fuji blimp, you jackass? You guys sit around looking at a Goodyear blimp? Why can't, what, they got a copyright on blimps over there?"
"Oh, no, Goodyear blimp, only blimp. Well, Goodyear blimp's the only blimp, huh? Says who?"
I was like, for 20 years, people would just look up in the sky, almost like the moon. Remember when people look at the moon and just, "Oh, the moon." And finally, one guy said, "I'm going to fly to that thing and stand on it. What are you talking about, the moon?" So for a long time, there goes the Goodyear blimp. Boy, that Goodyear blimp. And then some cat at Fuji, some dude who's sitting there chain-smoking Temple of Heaven cigarettes. And, you know, "All right, look, we caught it, but you know, I don't get it with you guys. Kodak is beating my ass. I got to do something over here. I got to Kodak this and Kodak that. And if I see James Garner again and that Paul Anka with the Times of Your Life, I'm going to kill somebody, okay?" "Oh, Mr. Mitsubishi, what do you want us to do?" "I say we get a blimp. How about that?" "Jesus." And they're all just, "A blimp? I mean, well, Goodyear does that. Who said Goodyear's the only blimp? What are you guys, nuts or something? Good God, man, the atom bomb was like 50 years ago with the radioactivity still getting to you?
I'm gonna have a Geiger counter on you guys. Yeah, you're still hot. You guys with that Goodyear blimp coming out of my ears with a Goodyear blimp. I want a Fuji blimp, but I want it now.
Well, it must have been thought of before. Maybe another blimp.
Well, so what if there's another blimp? What, are they suddenly coming out with a limit on blimps this year? The skies are full of blimps? Where there's a limit on blimp traffic? Why don't you call the Federal Blimp Aviation Administration and find out if we can get the blimp up there? Because it's just, every time I walk outside, the sky is black with blimps. Well, you mean a Fuji blimp? Yes, a Fuji blow. God, a Fuji blimp, man. Well, what's it going to say? Gee, I don't know. How about Kodak? It says Fuji. And you fly it over ball games, just the same way they do. I don't know. Could you be very, very upset? Oh, well, gee, my heart's just racing. Let them be upset. They get to fly over a ball game, I'm flying over ball games. We got a whole copyright for NFL football. All right, then fly it over a freaking tractor pull. I don't care. What else is there? Baseball game, basketball. Yeah, that's good. Let's fly it over a basketball arena, okay? There's a roof on the thing. Wow. What's your name? Mr. Asato. Mr. Sato, really? Huh? Okay, well, guess what? why don't you just grab my bag and beat it to the hotel? Let's fly it over a basketball game. So finally, that guy in Tokyo, he said, what the hell is with the Goodyear? I'm going to have a Fuji. Now they got a MetLife blimp. Isn't that funny how one thing will become so, just absolutely so identified with something that you never occurs to you that they don't own the market? Now, maybe when we think of blimp, we may think Goodyear blimp, but by God, Fuji's got one flying around up there. How do I know? Because I've seen it. And I was at the beach the other day. Marie and I were we were down at Laguna Beach, flying right along there, man. They still using them airplanes, dragging those freaking banners, don't they? Who's the guy? What do they call up some guy who's sleeping in a freaking barn or something?
Yeah, Bill's barnstorming. Yeah? Coors beer, huh? Yeah, what's it pay? No, man. I don't get off the ground for anything less than a 5-0. 150 for the hour? Okay, let's go.
So he gasses up his little plane. The guy's sitting up there in an airplane. Where is it? He doesn't know what he's dragging. It might say Adolf Hitler forever. You know, he doesn't care. Did you see what you're dragging up there, you fool? What? Adolf Hitler is groovy. I don't give a crap. You don't give a... No, I don't give a damn. That's $200 is $200, man. Don't be looking at me. Don't you have any standards? Yeah, I do have a standard. It's called eating 3 meals a day. There's my standard. I got an airplane. You can stick anything you want on the back end of that, okay? You can put anything you want behind it, just like my wife. So anyway, we're sitting there, and... Because I remember as a kid, I'd see the copper tone. That would be the big one. Or how about these guys that skywrite? How do you do that?
Billy! Yeah? You forgot to dot the I. Oh, shut up, will you? We got to get out of here. Now, really, man, they paid for it. You know, Hazel, I love you. Well, there's no I in that. Well, you put one. You better dot it.
All right, so the moral of the story is, I love you, Daddy. 1-800-44 as in father. Lest any of you guys in jail get any ideas. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Phil, Hal Levalier here, enjoying your broadcast, and we wanted to say hello to you, young man.
Hal and Viola, right?
Yes, Viola's here, too. Here, he wants to say hello to you.
Hello, Phil, Viola.
Yeah, hi, how you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing... We get such a kick out of your show. I wanted to tell you... Let me...
Phil, we're having just a wonderful time listening to your broadcast. Hold on for a minute. Roger Fresno, I'm going to be about 16 miles outside of Laughlin. All right, well, you can tell him to kiss my...
Listen, Hal's on the radio, Phil. I don't
know, let me do it. Phil, listen, I heard what you were saying about hauling these banners, these advertising banners that I heard you speaking about just a few moments ago. Do you recall?
Yes, of course.
All right. Viola and I actually are doing a job here for Bill Winningham. You know Bill. He's a dear friend. He owns the ranch out there in Happy Valley. And we have a banner we've got here on the back of the Cub. And it's for the 17
St. Daniel Laughlin RV Caravan, and we're going to be there for 5 days. There's going to be RVs from all over the western United States and all of our friends from the East Coast and the South and so forth. Now, it's very heavy, and it's... What are you doing? Don't grab my arm.
I want you to fly the plane. It's Viola, Phil. It's very, very heavy and tends to give a little bit of tail drag.
What are you doing? Well, do you fly? So what we're doing is we're keeping a good elevation here, and we want to make sure, because the banner behind it... What the hell happened? We're being dragged down by the banner, Phil.
Well, can you jettison it?
No, we're going in. We're going in. Mom, I love you.
Wow. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is the time they really die. Well, I mean, it's, I can always dream. Hal and Viola, they got a banner there for, really, the 17th Annual Laughlin RV Caravan. Well, shut my mouth. There they are. 1-800-449-8686. Email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. I got some good lines to read.